G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post's preview podcast for the weekend of Saturday, September 23. I'm John Barker. Joining me as usual, Joel Marshall and Carl Diorio. Well, Joel, De Bortoli wines Golden Rose Tay. The form usually works out pretty well. Are you expecting any upset in the big race?
I've tipped an upset. It wouldn't shock me at all to see Minari be too good for them again. But look, at interesting race. I can see there being a lot of pressure. It seems to be a lot of pace in the race. The Mission's a noted free roller, and Corey Brown had a hard time, letting him settle first up, and he had to sort of let him go. And then you've got Parast, Formality, Gold Standard, all like to get forward. So Minari, it's interesting. They bit the bullet straight away, second up, and he went forward, got outside the lead. It'll be interesting to see what the tactics are with him on Saturday, because I don't think he'll get that spot outside the lead if they if that's the way they elect to go. But look, he's the best. He's got the best form in the race, and he deserves to be favourite. Whether he deserves to be even money, well, that's another debate. But yeah, I've gone for an upset.
Well, Carl, I guess the other talking point of the week is Winks not taking that $500,000 carrot and heading instead for the Turnbull, her first run at Flemington. Humidor, pretty impressive last time. $1.15, short enough, surely.
Yeah, I'm always looking for ways favourites can get beaten, but I think Humidor's no opposition for Winks, so I think she'll deal with him quite easily. And $1.15. I mean, she actually got out to a backable price in the run, actually, the last start. So I think she blew out to $3 in the run on Betfair. So if you fancy maybe Humidor, or maybe if you fancy Wink, sorry, and you think Humidor might give her a run for the money, you might have to be on Betfair and hope that the price blows out again.
And can Humidor change tack and go to the Underwood now?
Well,
happen. A few horses that are going to the Turnbull may well just bring their campaigns forward a week and
Underwood, and then the Caulfield Stakes.
Possibly. And meanwhile, Chris Waller just picks up that $500,000 anyway in the Craven Plate with something else.
It just shows the folly of poor race programming, I suppose. If you think you can inject money into races to attract one horse, well, this is what can happen. And all power to Chris, he's doing the right thing by the horse, and I suppose by extension he might be doing the right thing by his stable.
Alrighty, well, the main racing this week, there is a meeting at Caulfield. It's kind of an in-between meeting. Just the way the calendar has worked out, they've sort of had to stretch the Caulfield features over an extra week. So we have got some nice black-type races and, in fact, intriguing races all day at Caulfield. But the main racing is at Rose Hill. And the first of the black-type races there is race two. Although, Joel, I see race one, Nathan's Famous Hot Dogs handy. Yes. I think there's some competitive eating.
Well, he's got to be on course. That's a name that's got to be given to a black type race, surely, not a benchmark 74.
You would think so. Anyway, the first black type race is race two. Colin Stephen Quality, 2400 metre group three, and there's only five left in it, Joel.
Yeah, just the five, with Elwood being a very early scratching and Chris Waller electing to run Elwood against the stablemate Up and Rolling later in the card. But yeah, just the five. I've gone with Auvray. His best form is when he gets to 2400 and beyond, and he's hit form now that he's found that distance and dry tracks as well. So I've gone his way to beat one Broadside to turn the tables from the Newcastle Cup clash, and four Admiral Jello in for third, two DIC for fourth.
Same first. Four Auvray to beat Broadside. I just think the Newcastle Cup run was a really nice effort. Looks to be hitting form finally, and Richard Friedman seems to have got this horse going really well. For third, number two, DIC, wasn't as bad as what the last start run looked on paper. And for fourth, number four, Admiral Jello. Darabet also entered for Melbourne, so it might end up being a four-horse field.
We skip to race five now. Schweppes Shannon Stakes, Joel, group two, 1,500 metres.
Yeah, I've gone with nine, Dawn Wall. It looks to have come back in good order. Charged to the line first up, went second behind Washington Heights, and I think can turn the tables with that run under her belt. So I've gone nine. I've gone one good project in for second. He's a classy galloper. He's giving a little bit of weight away to his rivals. Ignore his first up run. He'll improve off of that. He'll probably improve again third up, but he's got enough class to run well. Five, Washington Heights in four, third. He's obviously come back in good order. Probably can make a case he should be unbeaten since returning from Hong Kong. and 4 Euro Angel next best, 9154.
So in first four, slightly different. All the Washington Heights on top meets Dawn Wall better at the weights for that last stride victory over the 1400. Small query at this distance, but it has got plenty of class. Dawn Wall was very good after covering ground and trying to sustain a run from back in the field first up, and does loom as the main danger. Euro Angel for third. She's run the best closing splits of both runs this campaign behind horses that have led throughout. Sweet Redemption and Deploy being both of them in the Toy Show and Theo Marks. And for fourth, number one, Good Project, who has a bit of class but has to carry a bit of weight.
The first leg of the Quaddie at Rosehill Gardens on Saturday is race 6, James Bogue's Premium Gloaming Stakes, 1800 for 3-year-olds at Group 3 level. Most of these, or many of these, on their way to the Spring Champion and perhaps thence to the Victoria Derby. And we get an interesting indication of the early 3-year-old Melbourne v Sydney form with Sully going up there for Busserton and Young, Joel.
Yeah, and I've gone his way. He's got plenty to learn. He's hung in badly both runs this time in. Going the other way might help him. Hopefully it does. It'll need to. He won't be able to do that much wrong and win this better quality race, but he's certainly a promising stayer. Form held up through his two runs in his first prep, and I've lent to him just ahead of the Godolphin pair, 3 sanctioned, hit the line nicely. They rode him quietly, getting him to switch off last start, trying to get him up over a trip. He's drawn nicely to get a good smother. 1 Astoria, impressed in the Spring Stakes, and in for fourth, number 7 Augustus. Good maiden win last time, and the runner-up has since won. He's a horse, seems to be on the way up. 5317.
Same numbers, different. All the sanctioned on top for me. I thought the first up run was quite good after racing outside the lead in the up and coming. Found the line quite nicely in the Stan Fox behind Gold Standard, who I give a big chance in the Golden Rose. He's got a touch of class. He holds a Cox Plate entry. And I was very, very close to making him my best bet of the day. So I've got him ahead of the stablemate 1 Astoria. A nice win last time in the Spring Stakes, displaying a good turn of foot. Third, number 5, Sully. Yeah, hopefully the New South Wales direction helps him go straight, but it's not a given, I suppose. And fourth, number 7, Augustus.
Main race at Rosehill on Saturday, race 7, DeBortley Wines Golden Rose, 1400 Group 1, worth $1 million for 3-year-olds at level weights. And quite a few fun facts about this race. I think last start winners have won 9 of the 14. In fact, the past 3 have been won by the winner of the run to the Rose, so that's good news for Minari. 3 of the last 4 have been won from double figure barriers, also good news for Minari. And in fact, you can't basically come from any further back than 4th at your last start to win this race, but that really is not eliminating too many. However, Joel, you have said that you are going for one at a bit of odds, and your selection, however, does meet the criterion of a last start winner, but around about $21.
Yeah, I've gone for number 9, Dracarys. Look, I found it hard to... I was trying to find something to beat Minari, and I've gone for him. He's just drawn the inside gate. He's going to do no work in the run. I liked his first up effort. He had to give chase to the tearaway leader, and he was just run down by Assimilate, who Carl will make a good case for shortly, and I don't think there's too much between the pair, actually, but Dracarys was good there. He was first up, and he just got run down by Assimilate, then went to the up-and-coming. Good, strong win there over Gold Standard, and Gold Standard, of course, then came out and won the Stan Fox. So, look, decent form lines. I think he's still got a fair bit to offer, Dracarys, fair bit of upside, and from that inside gate, just hoping he gets the soft run off what could be a good speed, and happy to back him each way. From number 2, Minari. No knock on him, just that sticky gate is, I guess, a bit of a query, and he is short enough, but he's certainly the hardest to beat. Number 1, The Mission, I think he'll be much fitter. The 1500 was always going to be a problem first up. He's such a free-going horse, and look, he could pinch a good race if he gets to the front and just keeps rolling with a bit more fitness under his belt. I expect improvement from him on Saturday. And 7, Merchant Navy, unbeaten, yet to do anything wrong. And the Booker form certainly held up well last week. And Assimilate, Carl, I'm certainly giving him a chance as well. He'd be next in for me.
It's that sort of race. I don't think Minari deserves to be even money, purely because it does look a race of a few chances. In saying that, I've got Assimilate as my best bet. He won his first 2 starts quite impressively. And then he came from the back in the field with a month between runs and almost overran Addictive Nature, who did lead throughout on that occasion. Form line, as you touched on, Joel, has stood up through Dracarys and also Gold Standard. And I just think Assimilate, another month between runs, he'll get back off a genuine tempo and he'll run out 1400 strong. Ahead of number four, Gold Standard, I just think he's improving with every run. He put it all together finally last time when finishing ahead of Sanctions in the Sand Fox. They're the two I'd like to play at odds, around about the same sort of price. And then I've got in for third, Minari. I've mixed it up a bit there. I've got Gold Standard in for third and the Form God, Minari in for second and Pereira in for fourth. But they're the two assimilating Gold Standard that I suppose are the each way odds that you can work around and try and inject value into.
Race 8 at Rose Hill on Saturday. Golden Pendant for fillies and mares over 1400 metres at Group 2 level. And there's a runner here, Oh My Sword, who a fun fact I didn't mention about the Golden Rose is that no filly has ever won it apart from Forensics, and that was the freak year where it was run in the autumn. 33 fillies have tried to win it in spring. They have never done so. Punters don't learn, though, and Oh My Sword will have learned this year because Phil Melody and Champagne Cattles are both about $20. But Oh My Sword, I think, started favourite perhaps in the Golden Rose last year and ran second, mind you. And she steps out, we've got a marked favourite for the Golden Pennant as well, Joel.
Yeah, and it's getting towards D-Day for her, I guess, this prep. Excuses first up off that bad start in the show county, and then ran pretty well in the Scirocco. They took her right back to last from the wide gate, and she was hitting the line, drawn well, 1400, so she ticks a lot of boxes, I think, on Saturday. I've got her in for second. I've gone for number four, Daisy Doom. Tricky gate to overcome, but she's a quality mare. She really went to a new level last prep. She hadn't been in a stakes race until last campaign. She increased her rating plenty and was competitive every start, including her final outing, which was a Group 3 win in the Dark Jewel. Her first up run in the Scirocco was good. She was back further than what she normally is off that reasonably fast early tempo, and she was hitting the line really well. Loved her last 100 metres there. She's super consistent. So I've gone her way just from two Oh My Sword. One, Dixie Blossoms, the stablemate of Daisy Doom. Had to sit second to Deploy, who was running very quick time first up. She'll improve for that. She probably should be unbeaten second up. And seven, Bonnie O'Reilly, Mrs. Consistency, in for fourth. But four on top from two, one and seven.
Oh My Sword on top for me. Yeah, almost fell first up just after knuckling at the start. And then second up, ran the best last 600. Getting back in the day, it was hard to make ground, and she ran as well as she could under the circumstances. Third up, I think she's ready to run a big race from Bonnie O'Reilly, who suffered her first defeat over 1,200 metres last time. Wasn't disgraced, however. For third, I'm putting in number four, Daisy Doom, a nice first up effort last time. And then for fourth, number eight, Den Magic, who did cover extra ground when resuming and might be a bit of an improver here.
That wraps up the black type at Rose Hill on Saturday. Carl's Best was race 7, number 10, Assimilate, as mentioned, and that one that Joel was just talking about there, race 8, number 4, Daisy Doom, his value bet. But we take you into the last race here, tab.com.au handicapper benchmark 89 over 1400, because Joel, your best bet is going up against Carl's value bet.
Yeah, well, my best is Zumbelina. She got the cash first up, and I think it's worth sticking with her. She's got a super record on top of the ground. We didn't see the best of her through the autumn. There was good support for her first up. She had the good suck run from the inside gate, was able to get underneath Tango Rain and finish over the top of him. Yes, she's up 3 kilos, but you can just see her getting the same sort of run, and I think she can go on with it. So she is my best for the day.
Value bet for me, Sir Plush, number four. Up to the 1400 metres, I'm not too worried about that. I think last start was quite good, ridden tough outside the lead, Two starts ago was up outside the lead and stayed on quite well. Last time was ridden back from a wide barrier and found the line quite nicely. Backs up quickly over the 1400, and he is a nice price at around about $9.
Caulfield, as mentioned, the venue for Melbourne racing on Saturday. The black type starts in race 6. That's the Skyline Education Foundation Testarossa Stakes. 1,200 metre listed race, Joel, and Brave Smash expected to go on his winning way.
Yeah, he's going to be very short again, as he was second up. He didn't win by a big margin, but Damien Lane kept him out of trouble, three wide, and he got the job done nicely. He'd want to be going very close to go to the, what's looking like a pretty strong Everest. So look, he's on top for me. I'm going to be having something on number 8 Royal Tudor and taking the multiples with Brave Smash. I thought Royal Tudor did enough first up, second up last prep. He was only a length and a half off Red Zell, and I think he can improve off that first up run. One Keen Array, well, he's had bad gates around Mooney Valley's last couple. He can certainly bridge the gap on Brave Smash, and it was only a length and three quarters that he was beaten by him. He's drawn the inside, so you can certainly make a case that he could probably get a lot closer, if not turn the tables. There'll be the three that I'll take in my quaddy, and 5 Malibu Style next best. I thought he did enough first up, and he's got a really good second up record.
Malibu Style on top for me. He looked as if he needed the run first up. He didn't have cover as well. He was exposed and he weakened over the concluding stages. Since then, the work's gone into him. He's improved fitness wise, and the second up record's quite good, and he'll get that nice soft trailing run that he desires from the nice barrier this time around. So I think he can beat Brave Smash, who I think is a little bit overrated. He's got to improve a heck of a lot to be competitive in the Everest, and he's probably no good thing to win this race. Keen Array won this race last year and raced quite well behind him last time at Mooney Valley, and so did Del Divino, who was up outside the lead. Brave Smash three wide outside of it and beat it home, but El Divino's tracking okay.
And I went for Brave Smash to beat Keen Array, El Divino and Royal Tudor, 3-1-6-8. Race 7 is the main race at Caulfield on Saturday. It's the Bendigo Bank East Malvern MRC Foundation Cup, previously known as the Naturalism Stakes, 2,000 metre Group 3. Paul Richards has written in his column this week basically a recap of Naturalism's career and how he could have really been one of the greats if he hadn't had so many things just go slightly wrong during his career. So they don't give you long at the Melbourne Racing Club, do they, to have a race named after you? Especially if they've got a president, a past president, or a charity of their own that they want to name their race after, or they want to call it Heat 5 of the Paddy Power bloody series or whatever it is. Anyway, not for us to reason why, just for us to pick the winner, Joel.
Yes, and it's a good race. You can make a case for many runners. I've lent to number 3, Big Duke. I think his two runs back have been really good. His last 100, 200 metres in both runs have been super, and the step up in distance is ideal, obviously. So I've gone his way. From the stablemate, 9 Emily Star, very unlucky last week, just never got a clear crack at them at all. And she certainly looks to be knocking on the door. Step up in distance, ideal. 10 Abby Marie, well, her two runs have been super at weight for age. Got to respect those form lines. And 6 Stampede, who came back from a spell in terrific order. He was well backed, had the big weight, and was dominant there at Mooney Valley. Missed the Quinella 1 from 10, so you got to respect that record. But I've gone 3 Big Duke from 9, 10, and 6.
Finger Mask on top for me. I like that first up run. The Headley was taken back from a wide barrier, sat last, and got warm late. It was just getting around heels of weakening runners midway up the straight, and was strong through the line. It was a nice first up effort out to the 2,000 metres. Might be a case of one run too early, but I'm expecting him to run a nice race at good each way odds. From 10, Abby Marie, who's been racing quite well this campaign at a probably stronger level, you can say. Third, number 2, Telly, who found the line well in that aforementioned Headley, and the same as Harlem as well, who is my fourth selection. So I guess that Headley is going to be the strong form reference for the Naturalism, and we saw Emily Starr and Magnapel, the two horses to have run in the Headley, to then come out and run quite well since. So it probably does look a nice form reference.
And of course, Caulfield Cup ticket for the winner, Telly already has one of those. Having won the Mornington Cup.
Stampede for me, number 6 to beat 10 Abby Marie, 12 Harlow Gold, 7 Boom Time. Certainly is a nice deep race. Race 8 is the Ladbrokes Odds Boost Stakes for 4 years old and up mares over 1200 at Group 3 level, Joel.
I've gone with number 4 Legless Verve, good fresh mare. She's had a nice jump out at Sandown. I'd like to see Malibu Style run really well earlier in the card. And look, I think she can run really well. She's drawn nicely, $17, good overs for her. To beat 3 Savannah or more, hate jumping off her because she's been a good mare to follow, good win in the Cockrum. Yeah, there were a couple of unlucky runners in that race, but she was very good. So I think she'll run well again. 5, Furyk, who was probably the most unlucky runner in that Cochrane, just heavily backed into $1.80 that day. And 6, Ravi, excellent win first up. When able to settle a lot closer than she has done in the past, and they could probably do that again from that gate. 4, 3, 5, 6.
Ravi on top for me, impressive winner in Sydney. It was a great turn of foot. She's always had the measure of Miss Rock when they've met. And that form line kind of ties in here and meets, you know, Miss Rock reasonably well at the weights considering. So I've got Ravi on top from 5, Furyk, who I think's, obviously was unlucky last time, but there's every chance that she'll run into a brick wall again because there does look to be plenty of sit sprinters here and she might just settle a few pairs further back than desired. For third, I'm putting in number 7, Miss Rock. And for 4th, number 9, Ali Kazum, who does look like he'll slide forward from a wide-ish barrier, might just get it out of trouble and whack away for a placing.
You went for Ken Edna at any old odds, resuming to beat 5, Furyk 12, Now or Later, another mystery packet resuming, and number 7, Miss Rock for 4th. My best was Stampede, race 7, number 6, and my value bet, Carl, which you have written about in the Winning Post this week, is race 2, number 6, Sunquest. Joel?
My best is in the last, race 9, number 7, Merriest. Good effort first up, caught wide there in Moonee Valley, and I thought battled on reasonably well. Good second up record, nice turn in the weights on the winner, Fragonard, and drawn well. 1,400 I don't think will be a problem, so I'm pretty keen on 7, Merriest, and I made Legless Verve my value in race 8. And just the other race I'd like to mention, race 4, a couple I'm keen on. 10, William Thomas is a first starter who would be very, very hard to beat in a maiden. Just reading before we came in here that they may elect to keep him for a maiden, but the good barrier might just see him run around at Caulfield. He's been trialling really well. And number 12, Counterplay. Expect her to have plenty of improvement to come despite being beaten first up in Adelaide. We know what Philip Stokes can do when he brings them across to Melbourne. So if they both run, back them both at decent odds.
Yeah, best bet for me is also Merriest, race 9, number 7, and my value bet's race 7, number 13, Venga Mars.
Carl, you're not in the Morphville Tips panel this week.
No, Daniel's in there, but I'm in there in the best bets, just to add to the confusion.
All right, well, they're racing on the Parks track.
They are in the Parks track. Race 6, number 6, Black Sheep's my best bet, $2.40, probably won a slightly better price, but there's absolutely no opposition. Gets in reasonably well at the weights after the claim and should be hard to beat.
I see it has accepted for Tatura Cup on Saturday.
Okay.
I think Black Sheep, yeah.
So might be going there. Well, they've got the option, I suppose. The track at the moment is a soft 5 with rain forecast on the day, so maybe they'll be looking to find a track with a bit of give in it. Who knows? But because Black Sheep's won a couple of times in the heavy, but we'll keep an eye out there. And value bet in the last race, it's an impossible race. Race 8, number 7, Let's Tango. 1,400 metre record, it hasn't gone to 1,400 metres yet, so you might think it's a bit of a query, but the times it's run over 1,250, it has won and been strong, and there's just not a great deal of depth in this race, so I'm willing to entertain Let's Tango. Back on top of the grounds as well, should be a bit of an improver as well. So tricky race. I wouldn't have my last dollar on it, but you may have to at that time of the day. But yeah, should run a nice race.
Well, I'm going to have a rare bet in Adelaide. I'm going to have a little bet in that race. Star Wars. Yeah, you said it's a weak race. If he could find some of his best, and Grant Young is known for getting some form back into these older gallopers. First up run was just last week. Quick back up, down in class, blinkers back on. I'm going to have a little something on him.
We head away from Doomben for a couple of weeks, or in fact for 3 weeks, I think, on Saturdays in Queensland. And first stop is Ipswich. Joel, we wait till late on the card for your specials.
Yes, channeling Carl here, races 8 and 9 for the best. My value is in race 8, and it is number 2, Spring Tycoon. With the amateur coming out, it certainly lessened his odds somewhat, but nevertheless, I think it'll be very hard to beat. He backs up from the win last week at Doomben, where he didn't look overly impressive considering he had the inside run. He took forever to get past My Girl Hayley, but he was coming back from 1,400 to 1,350, and I just think the step up to the mile and the quick back up. He was second in the Toowoomba Guineas over a mile, where he made Dreams of Plenty, talented Dreams of Plenty, really worked to beat him, and he's drawn to get a lovely sweet trip again. So I think he can win again, Spring Tycoon. And my best is in the last race, 9, number 12, Bergerac. He's won 3 from 6, impressed last start. He was off a fresh in 1600 back to 1200, and he just dealt to his rivals. It was only a class 2, but it was a strong win. Comes to town for a no metro win race, and I think he can go on with the job.
Belmont, again, the venue for Perth racing on Saturday, and very quickly can tell you that Greg Hooper's best, race 5, number 2, Young Gina. Value bet, race 4, number 2, Another Vision. Earlier in the day, we head over to Hastings, Joel, where we have the next iteration of the Hawke's Bay Triple Crown, and that is the Group 1 Windsor Park Plate.
Yes, it's the 1600 metre leg of the series, and we've got the full field of 14 plus 5 emergencies. I've gone the way of number 2, Volkstock and Barrel, who's had the one run back from a spell. He had a huge weight, I think it was 64 and a half, something like that. He was just sort of out there to get the campaign up and rolling. He's comes to hand quickly. He's got a good second up record, good sweet draw too, barrier 3. I think he'll be hard to beat. From 1, Kawi, 5, Ginger Nuts was hitting the line super first up. He'll be doing the same again. He may very well win it. And 14, Volpe Veloce from a decent gate can improve. 2, 1, 5 and 14, my best is High Quality. Race 2, number 5, did an excellent job last start, stepping up in distance off a break. And he gets a claim on Saturday. He'll be fitter. Should be hard to beat. And my value is Sheridan, race 5, number 4. First up from a spell, he'll get better as he gets over further. But 1,400 fresh is ideal. He ran really well fresh last time in and did have a good campaign tackling some decent races. Riccarton is the other meeting. My best is Barabbas, race 6, number 1. Runner-up, both starts back from a break. Looks to be close to a win. And my value bet is Wise Move, race 10, number 9. Has a big finish when she produces it. Wasn't able to last start, didn't have much luck, held up, but was a big winner before that. Interesting runner too, there, race 8 at Riccarton, La Diosa, back to New Zealand. Of course, we saw her win a race through the Sydney Autumn. And she resumes over 1,200 metres.
You'll have to get up pretty early in the morning if you want to be having a bet in the first at Riccarton, won't you? 9.05 Australian Eastern Time. We've got 12 races over there in Christchurch. That wraps up a big Saturday of racing around Australia. Don't forget your winning post. If you haven't got it already, it's got all the form for Friday, Saturday and Sunday. Coleraine Cup, one of the highlights on Sunday. You've got the Tatura Cup on Saturday. And we've also got meetings at Ballarat, Wyong and Hobart. Full coverage of and fields for everywhere else on the Sunday. So we take you right through. No football on Sunday, of course, so plenty of punting to do. And finally, our best $20 bet of the week. Struggling to remember what mine was last week, but I did tip a few winners, including some shorties, so I reckon I would have got it up. And this time I'll go with race 7, number 6 at Caulfield Stampede. Joel?
I'm pretty sure Hardham was mine last week, so we'll stick with that formula. Last race, Melbourne. Merriest, race 9, number 7.
And I'll go Black Sheep, Adelaide, race 6, number 6.
Okay, have a great weekend, everybody. Back plenty of winners. We'll talk to you next week on the Preview Podcast.